Goedemorgen en vanmorgen heel hartelijk welkom vanuit de Crystal Cathedral in Californië. En het is een hele bijzondere zondag vanmorgen, want het is de Hollandse zondag. En u zou hierbij moeten zijn. Dus bijna 800 Nederlanders zijn hier aanwezig. Ze zitten hier met Nederlandse vlaggen. En er gaat hier een heleboel gebeuren rond de Hollandse zondag in de Crystal Cathedral. Allereerst moet ik u zeggen dat het een feest is om met zoveel Hollanders hier te zijn. 24 bussen rijden hier rond in Los Angeles. En ik kan u zeggen, voor iedereen is het de reis van hun leven. En wij gaan zingen met elkaar het lied wat dominee Schuller zo bijzonder vindt. En waar hij mee op is gegroeid. Psalm 42, het heigend het der jacht ontkomen. Ik kan u niet zeggen hoe groot het gevoel van dankbaarheid en van vreugde hier is. In de Crystal Cathedral.
Morning, and welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. What an array of flags I see. I think that's the flag of the Netherlands. Do we have some guests from the Netherlands here this morning or something? I guess so. Wow, well, we have a very, very special day today, and we're glad you're with us. We have the flautist, Noortje van Middelkoop, who will be playing for us today. We also have the vocalist, Ralph van Monen. We also have Dr. Phil's sister-in-law, Cindy Brodus. She's going to be sharing her story with us today, entitled A Random Act. So, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought people from around the world to be here together at this one place, at this one moment in time. And there is a reason. And the reason is your Holy Spirit penetrating hearts and minds, motivating and inspiring us, melting away the fear and forging our faith. So we thank you, God, for this moment in time where we are in your presence with you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
may be seated. We have most, if not all, of our visiting Dutch friends, John van der Bos.
Thank you. Dank u wel. Goedemorgen.
Ja, goedemorgen.
Hoe gaat het met u?
Oh, het is een mooie dag.
Het is een fantastische dag.
Sure, ja.
Ja.
En ik ben in een goede kerk, zo.
En wij zijn allemaal in de goede kerk.
Ja.
Dit is een fantastische kerk.
Sure.
En we zijn ongelooflijk blij. Wat zeggen wij dan?
That's nice. That's very nice, yes.
We have a wonderful time. And Dr. Schuller, the ministry of Hour of Power in the Netherlands is changing the shape of our country.
Ooh, I hope so.
It is. It is.
For the better.
It is. For the better. We started 7 years ago with only 20,000 viewers. Now we have about 300,000 people watching every Sunday.
Wow.
And I've seen the lives of people that are changed. I see it in their eyes. We hear it from them. Thank you for bringing people in my country to Jesus Christ, because that's where you aim for.
I want to say this. There is a young girl I met last night.
Yes.
Just stand up wherever you are. Yes. She's only 25 now, but just a few years ago, she had a bite, and it infected her body with a disease that the doctors said, go home and just get ready to die. And then she turned on the Hour of Power. Am I telling this right? And you began to believe what we were saying. Nothing's impossible. So it's possible that you could live, that you might recover. And you did, and you prayed that you'd be well enough that someday you could come here, and you came with this fine group. Even though your doctor said a couple weeks ago you're still too weak, you came, and it looks like you survived very well. And my wife said how you told her after her speech that you now wanted to embrace Jesus Christ. Is that right? So you are now a lively Christian. Thank you. Carry on, John.
Yes. Dr. Schuller, for very many Dutchies here, it's the trip of their life, really. And there's one man who wanted to be here, but he wasn't able to come. The Prime Minister of the Netherlands, Jan-Pieter Balkenende, a greeting for you.
Wow.
Dr. Schiller, 3 years ago, shortly after I became Prime Minister, you visited me in my office in The Hague. I look back on our meeting with pleasure and gratitude. You gave me a gift, a glass eagle. It now occupies a very special place in my office. Whenever I look at it, I'm reminded of those beautiful words from the Song of Moses. He compares the Lord with an eagle that flutters over its young, catching them, bearing them on its wings. Dr. Schiller, this has been at the heart of the message you've been preaching for more than 50 years. We are all God's children, safe under his wings, in good times and bad. Faith fills our lives with joy and inspiration. With this message, you've given millions of people all over the world strength and courage. I myself have the most wonderful memories of the visit that I and my family paid to the Crystal Cathedral in 1990. Thanks to the Hour of Power, your voice can be heard in homes all over the world, including the Netherlands. I know that you are loved by many people in the Netherlands. On behalf of all the Dutch people now present in the Crystal Cathedral or watching on television, I should like to say onze hartelijke gelukwensen, Dr. Schiller, met uw diamanten jubileum. Dank u wel voor alles. We wensen u nog vele jaren in goede gezondheid toe, samen met uw familie. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? These are the opening words of one of David's most beautiful psalms. As you would say, Dr. Schiller, if an idea comes from God, the possibilities are endless. I hope that your positive message of light and love will be heard from the Crystal Cathedral for many years to come. God bless you.
The Prime Minister of Holland, what a great honor that he would take time to thank us.
Many more people wanted to come from the Netherlands, but we could only come with 750. And those who were not able to come because we couldn't handle a larger group, they have sent a special greeting to you by mail. And here is the mail from the Netherlands, presented by Louis Poole, who is our managing director. And Paul Nouwen, brother of Henry.
Oh.
Dr. Schuller, Anthony, not only 750 people came over, but about 10,000 people looking at your ministry every week have a great support of what you are doing. They wrote a personal letter, and I took only 20 out of it, out of the 10,000 we brought from Holland. A heavy work from Louis Paul. I hope you can read them, but believe you're doing wonderful work helping people on their way in life to find God.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. My guest this morning is somebody very, very special. You know her brother-in-law. Her brother-in-law is Dr. Phil, an American treasure, one of the greatest personalities to come along and help improve America with values and virtues and courtesy acts. So she's written a book, which I have a copy here. Let me show you. Cindy brought us. Well, let me bring her right in here right now and let her tell the story rather than to let me tell it. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Well, I'm shocked to find out that you've known me for a long time.
I have. I've known you through TV for a long time.
Great. Tell me, what happened that would change your life forever? And when did it happen?
It happened 4 years ago in June. I was on my way to the airport from my home in Duncan, Oklahoma. And I was going to the airport in Oklahoma City. It was 3:30 in the morning, driving under an overpass, and to use Phil's words, some moron threw a vat of acid from that overpass that came through the windshield of my car and burned me over 70% of my body.
Wow. Did you think you were going to die?
I actually thought I had died and had come back for just a few minutes, because I knew I had a message and I thought God had given me a reprieve just a second before he went ahead and called me home.
You had a good friend, Dr. Jim, right?
I have a friend, Jim.
Yes, and was he driving the car?
He was driving, and I was on the passenger side. I had promised him that I would not sleep since it was so early in the morning, but I closed my eyes just a few minutes before this happened and took a little cat nap.
You were, of course, horribly injured. Was Jim injured at all?
Jim has burns on his arm, and he has some splatter burns on his face, small little burns, but yes, he was injured too. Then he found the first place that he could pull over, which happened to be a travel plaza, and it was open at night, and he pulled into that travel plaza and ran to get help.
Came in screaming.
screaming, call 911, call 911, to two ladies whose eyes were huge by that time. And seeing the car that had just pulled up, and then watching a few minutes later as I decided to get out of the car.
And you lost most of your face. I was impressed when you said you touched your face and the face came off, sticking to your hands.
The pain was unbearable almost, and I grabbed, of course, just out of first thing you do, as I grabbed it with my hands, and what I thought was blood turned out to be my face in my hands.
So much of the skin that we see there today was transplanted, is that right?
That's exactly right.
And your face rebuilt.
My face, I've had to have my eyelids replaced twice. I've had to have my upper lip. I've had a whole new chin. I've had to have my mouth open. I've had many surgeries to correct my arm and my neck area where I could move my neck again. And it all came from other parts of my body.
Wow. You mentioned three crossroads that brought healing.
Right.
Tell us the three crossroads. They're marvelous.
The main crossroad that I think helped me heal was when I could see again, and when I was able to open my eyes, I looked over at my children, looking over at me, and I saw the pain and the fear in their eyes, and I knew right then that I had to make this okay. And the very first thing was to forgive the person that did this to me. Now, it's not a gift I gave him. It's selfishly, it's a gift I gave myself.
That's so wise, so wise.
I think I didn't want to harbor that bitterness and that pain and that hate. I didn't want to carry it around with me every day for the rest of my life.
So wise.
The next thing I decided to do was decide what kind of survivor that I wanted to be. Did I want to just survive, or did I want to make the world a better place? And with the help of many, many people, but mainly my three precious daughters and my son-in-laws, we decided that if a random act of violence could change our lives as drastically as it did, then random acts of kindness could give it back to us. And while a lot of people have trouble accepting this, I think maybe, just maybe, one of you might go out and do a random act of kindness, and it might just come back and affect the person that did this to me. So we have decided to live our lives making the world a better place. Thank you. I have decided to tell my story, no matter how nerve-wracking it is. And I feel like that's what I can give back to God, is for Him sparing my life and for Him helping me through this. I can just tell what a wonderful, precious God He is, and how He's there in our times of need, as well as our times of just happiness. He's there through it all.
I want you to also share, you had, your husband left you. It was a tragic event, and it was terrible. And you were lying on the Davenport sofa crying. Tell us that incident.
This happened many years ago. My children were young, and while they were in school, I would cry my eyes out, and I would always say, why me? Why me? And I would lay there and I would say, I hate this, I hate that, I hate him, I hate whatever I hated. And I sat up on that couch, and so help me God, as I stand here, I thought, you know what I hate more than that? I hate the whiny person that I've become.
Wow,
I hate the person that says, why me?
Boy.
And that was the point in my life that I decided never to ask why me again.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. And you went.
Thank you.
Your personal faith in God and in Jesus Christ, how did that help in the whole healing?
I don't think there would have been healing. if I hadn't had that. I went to him in prayer every day. I said, help me get through this. Tell me what I need to do. Help me make the right choice. I said, when the road got really, really rough, I often thought of that poem that there are one set of footprints in the sand, and it's absolutely true. On the very rough days, I knew that he was carrying me.
That's so precious. It's a great story.
I'm humbled to meet you and to be here today, and I thank you so much.
I am so honored.
Thank you.
So honored. We love you.
Thank you. God bless you.
And now from the Netherlands, singing for us, Ralph Van Manen, a gospel legend in the Netherlands. He's made numerous recordings and has won Holland's Gospel Artist of the Year Award no less than 3 times. Welcome with me, Ralph Van Manen.
As we come to you, Lord, just the way we are, with our weaknesses so often denied. Lord, as we surrender to your unconditional love, will you make us strong in your mind? 'Cause we realize there ain't no disguise for the maker of the universe, the one who put the stars up in the sky. We lift your name on high. Lord, your love is higher than the mountains. It's softer than a sigh. It's deeper than the ocean. It's flowing like a fountain. You are always there, Lord, when we're losing our way. Every time we need somewhere to turn. You give us wings to fly, Lord, put the light in our eyes. When so easily we tend to unlearn that you're faithful and true, that there's no one like you. Lord, we surrender to the power of your everlasting love. We lift your name on high. Lord, your love is higher than the mountains. It's softer than a sigh. It's deeper than the ocean. It's flowing.
Thank you. Thank you. Over 35 years on television, this hour of power has been there for you, and you, with your support, have made it available to countless millions of people every single week. Hours and hours and hours and hours of power. Wow. And during these years, I've written over 30 books. And we thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take the best from all of these 30-some books and put them in one book, Hours of Power, soft leather, light paper, gold pages, 365 pages, an index of 21 pages. Each page takes the nugget out of the heart of 40 books I have written in my past 50 years. Oh, this is phenomenal.
Hours of Power, het schitterende jubileumdagboek van dominee Schuller, sturen wij u toe als blijk van onze waardering als u zich nu aanmeldt als donateur van de Ambassadors Club. U kunt ons nu bellen 035 538 0588 of meld u aan via onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Dank u voor uw reactie.
In de afgelopen dagen zijn we hier met 780 mensen Californië gaan bekijken, maar het ging vooral ook om de ontmoeting met dominee en mevrouw Schuller. En we volgen die gebeurtenissen. Daar krijgt u nu een impressie van wat in de afgelopen dagen is gebeurd. En ik hoop dat u daarvan heel erg zult genieten, zoals wij dat hier nog steeds doen.
Emotioneel, buitengewoon. Ik heb er eigenlijk geen woorden voor. Maar het versterkt absoluut je geloof.
Nou, het was een fantastische morgen. De rillingen lopen voor mijn lijf. Ik vind het zo fantastisch. En om zo emotioneel te zien, dat deed dan echt wel iets.
Wij zeiden ook, dit kan je niet overbrengen. Dit is zo fantastisch. Echt super. Echt geweldig. Het is net alsof je hem al kent, hè? Je hebt hem al zo vaak gezien. Het is helemaal niet vreemd. Het is, ja, fantastisch.
Ik vond het geweldig. Om het mee te mogen maken is dat zo mooi, hè? Om hier te zijn, je ziet het iedere morgen op de televisie. En nou zie je het echt. Het is zo apart, hè?
En nu zo dadelijk gaat hier binnen, gaat er dus plaatsvinden.
Ja.
Second here, let's try this.
Dat je dat nou eens echt helemaal meemaakt zoals je het altijd gezien hebt voor de tv.
He? 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66.
eigenlijk pas het boek gelezen van Dr. Schuller. En ik had van tevoren eigenlijk niet zo'n idee van wat kan ik verwachten. Maar door dat boek had ik echt heel veel respect gekregen voor die mensen. En wat ze hier opgezet hebben. En heel gaaf om het nu in het echt te zien. Ja.
Ik heb het hele verhaal van Suzanne gehoord. Het hele boek leest. En ziet waar het vandaan komt. Dat is ongelooflijk. En ik had het er best moeilijk mee gisterochtend. Toen die man erop kwam en echt oprecht, zeg maar, geëmotioneerd was.
A Dutch invasion this morning in the Crystal Cathedral. What does it mean for you as a stage manager?
It's wonderful to know that we reach an international audience, you know, and that we touch people internationally.
And what about the qualities of our musicians?
Oh, the qualities is Ralph rocks.
Betty is dat klaar om zometeen te gaan spelen op het grootste orgel ter wereld. Voor een organist uit Holland is dat een hele ervaring.
Ja, dat is zeer zeker, Jan. Als je dan alle registers ziet en het geluid wat eruit komt en de immense kerk, ja, dan is dat wel indrukwekkend.
We gaan psalm 42 zingen voor Dr. Schuller. Is het voor jou ook een bijzondere psalm?
Ja, ik vind het geweldig. En zeker de coupletten die we zingen. Het vijfde vers, maar de Heer zal uitkomst geven. Ja, ik denk dat het heel mooi gaat worden. En ik vind het heel bijzonder dat we dat hier met zoveel mensen in het verre Californië kunnen doen.
5 minutes, everybody.
Waarom speel jij panfluit en waarom speel jij het geestelijke lied?
Ik wil juist God met mijn talenten eren. En dat ga ik nu doen in het stuk Now Thank We All Our God. Dus dank nu alle God. En ja, dat is gewoon heel feestelijk en dat is echt, daar kun je gewoon heel veel in kwijt. Juist naar hem toe en voor hem.
I had a few requests that in this 50th anniversary year I could enjoy certain people back again. And one of the persons I wanted to hear again this year in person is Noortje van Middelkoop, whom I first heard in the Netherlands. And she plays the flute, which is phenomenal. And she's back with us today in person and playing for us now. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I know you grew up singing those great hymns from the Netherlands and Arvelis playing on the organ. And so we will sing to you one of the most beloved psalms that we sing every Sunday in our Reformed churches in the Netherlands. It is Psalm 42, one of the great, great psalms. And what we specially sing for you is this part. The Lord will command his loving kindness upon you in the daytime. And in the night, his song, this song, will be and shall be with you forever. God bless you.
Share with you a little bit about one of the most powerful women in the history of mankind. Not once, but three different occasions in the scripture, she is brought up as a woman of faith. She's not the kind of woman you'd necessarily expect to hear as far as a tremendous woman of faith. She's not one of the saints of the church. In fact, she is a prostitute. But in spite of it, she is recognized as truly one of the greatest people of faith of all time. Hebrews 11 shares with us what faith is all about. Paul begins this letter by saying, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And then he goes through a litany of men who have truly been the pillars of faith throughout the history of the Bible. And it begins with the son of Adam and Eve. And he says, by faith, Abel presented a sacrifice to God. By faith, Enoch ascended to heaven without death. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed and followed God's call. By faith, Jacob blessed Joseph's son. By faith, Moses' parents put him in a basket. By faith, Moses discarded the treasures and left Egypt. By faith, the children of God crossed the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the prostitute Rahab saved her family. A woman, the only woman mentioned in the Hall of Fame of Faith, Rahab. Who is this woman? What did she do? What happened? If you go back and you read the second chapter of Joshua, the account is there. There we see that Joshua is getting ready to lead the Israelites into the promised land, across the Jordan River. And so before he leads all of these Israelites into this land that he knows nothing of, he sends two spies. And these spies are sent specifically to Jericho. And there in Jericho, they meet Rahab. And the word is out quite soon that there are two spies in Jericho. And the king sends his men to go arrest these spies. And they go to Rahab's house, and she lies. She tells the king's men that the spies have left, and they've already left the city, and they better run out of the city immediately and go find them. And meanwhile, she has gone and hidden them on her rooftop. Well, the king's men go chasing after them out of the city. The gates are locked. And with that, she makes a deal with them. I know your God. I have heard about his miracles. I understand that he is not only the God in heaven, but he is also the God on earth. And I want you to save my family. As I have saved you, I want you to save my family. And if you do, I will help you get out of the city. And the agreement was if she would hang a red cord in her window to identify the fact that this was her house, that she would be saved. She did, and she was, and to this day we recognize her as one of the most tremendous people of faith. Why? What did she do that was so demonstrative of faith? She put her life on the line in the belief of who God is. She put her life on the line with the understanding that God truly is the God of heaven, but not only the God of heaven, but the God of earth. And she put her life on the line. She was totally and completely committed. And that's what faith is all about. Faith is about commitment. It's not the hokey pokey faith. How many know what the hokey pokey is? If you know what the hokey pokey is, stand up. Stand up if you know what the hokey pokey is. Okay, now we're going to have fun in church. Okay, here's how we do it. The hokey pokey. You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, you put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Okay, that's enough. That's the hokey pokey. There's no commitment in hokey pokey. Commitment is ham and eggs. You know about ham and eggs. The chicken contributes. The pig is committed. Commitment means you put your life on the line. You do whatever's committed. There's no going back. The bridges are burned. And that's what faith is. What Rahab did, she put her life on the line. She just heard about this thing called God. She just heard about the reputation of what God does. And with this limited amount of knowledge, she became 100% committed. No turning back. Total and complete commitment to an idea, to a vision, to a dream, to the calling that God has given you. But what happens when we receive this commitment and this calling is so often like the people in Jericho. Fear melts away our courage. From the inside out, we just melt away. What we have to hold on to is the reality of the promises of God. Because we don't have to be melted with fear when we can be forged with faith. And when the heat comes, we can realize that God is in the process of doing some of the greatest work He's ever done in our lives, ever. And out of the ashes, and out of the despair, and out of the heat, come the strongest tools of God. In James 2:25, we read these words. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. God has called us to do something. And if all we can do and all we can think about is nothing, then let me give you one thing you can do. I know you can do this. You can pray. Many of you know my son, Robbie. Robbie is a pastor here at the church while he's attending seminary in Fuller Theological Seminary. And when he was young, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, he was very afraid of the dark. And when it was time for him to go to bed, he was really, really, really scared. So what we did is we got a little picture of Jesus and we hung it on a wall so that when he laid in bed, he saw the face of Jesus. And we said, Robbie, when you get scared, you just look at that picture and you remember that Jesus is always with you and you don't have to be afraid. And that worked pretty good. And then he said, Daddy, do you think you can stay here with me too? And so what I would do is I would get a pillow and I'd lay my pillow next to his bed and I'd lay on the floor and I would just lay there and try not to fall asleep with him. And then once he was asleep, I'd sneak out of his room. What gave my children confidence, which forged their hearts, was the presence. The presence of Jesus, the presence of a parent, the presence of someone that they trusted. And today, we need to put our trust in Jesus Christ. Rahab put her trust in a scarlet piece of cloth that she hung in the window of her house. And that was the sign that this was the family that was not to be touched when Jericho was invaded. And her family was spared. So today we have an opportunity to plant the seeds of success with faith. It is truly an act of faith. We're going to take a seed, a thought, an idea, something that says we have heard just like Rahab, it was just something she heard. And we're going to take this thought and we're going to plant it in the souls of our being. And we're going to allow that seed to germinate. It is the grace and the love of God for each and every single one of us. Because what happens in us is far more important than what happens to us. And today we're going to recommit ourselves to Jesus Christ, to His love, and recommit ourselves to faith and make a commitment in faith to follow Jesus Christ. Wherever He leads, we're going to follow Him because we know that 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 His promises are true, His promises are real, and His promises are for us. So I want to ask you now to join me in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a God who comes to save. That You came to save us. That You came to give us life and give it to us abundantly. And so, Lord, as we commit ourselves to You, body, mind, and spirit, all we are, all we've ever been, and everything we'll ever be, we commit it to You. An act of faith. And so we thank You, Lord, for everything. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May He grant you His peace in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus. And that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Het binnenkomen in de kerk waar je zo naar verlangd hebt, is het alsof er een warme deken om je valt. En dan... Ja, de kracht die daaruit vloeit, super.
Mij raakte toch het meest dat zoveel Nederlanders zulke persoonlijke krachten krijgen door de woorden van dominee Schuller. En dat is mij deze dagen gebleken, dat de mensen niet zomaar komen kijken naar een dienst, maar een persoonlijke gedachte hebben. En hij heeft hen geholpen om God te vinden, om door moeilijkheden te komen.
Op de tv zie je... zie je meestal maar een paar personen, maar als je zo om je heen kijkt en ziet hoe blij mensen worden van zo'n mooie dienst, ja, dat overkomt je en dat vergeet je nooit meer in je leven.
En met ook de boodschap van onze premier had ik echt het gevoel, een stukje Nederland is hier nu in de Crystal Cathedral.
Prachtige dienst, echt interessant, boeiend om te zien hoe zoveel mensen, ja, eigenlijk door de dienst geboeid werden. Het interview wat we te horen kregen, de bijzondere confronteringen met God. Dat is toch iets wat mensen denk ik heel erg boeit en wat mensen, ja, dichterbij brengt bij God. Nou, dat hebben we deze ochtend weer heel mooi kunnen horen.
What is your feeling, emotion about so many Dutch people here?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I feel like I'm one of you.
You are?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Very much so.
Wat moeten we hier nog aan toevoegen? Hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. Ik hoop dat u genoten heeft. En graag tot volgende week.